Yes, I think that every music program should require every student to be in entrepreneurship or a business, like a music marketing class. Not if you want to go like be a director of a music company, not that reason. So that you can promote yourself. Even if you want to go perform in an orchestra, if that is your end goal, you need to know basic networking skills. And, you know, a lot of orchestras now ask around and they just want to see how you are as a person, how you work with people. And a lot of that is so important. And I think that they should be teaching that in every single school system.
Welcome to Femme Forte, a podcast where we celebrate women in music and performing arts. I'm your host, Amanda DeVries. Hello and welcome back. If you are new here, I'm your host, Amanda DeVries, music media professional, experienced performer, and musician. For those of you who are an oldie buddy goodie, thank you for your support. It's so great to have you. Here's your weekly reminder that one of the easiest things you can do to support the show is by sharing and subscribing. And if you're listening to this on Spotify, you can go and drop some comments and questions in the interactor feature at the bottom of the episode. You can also leave us voicemails either with your thoughts on the show or some questions you'd like for us to answer on an upcoming episode. Go to femfortepodcast.com and click the mic button in the corner. Today, I'm so excited to share with you probably one of my favorite episodes so far on the show. Kirsten Haddix, also known as Kirsten Oboe, is an oboist, content creator, and marketing professional from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Kirsten's online content is a mix of music career guidance, oboe covers, and comedy videos. One of Kirsten's core beliefs is that every musician deserves artistic fulfillment and financial success. She advocates for the financial empowerment of musicians, striving to make their dreams of financial stability as tangible as their creative aspirations. It was such a joy to have Kirsten come to the studio and be on the show. We talk about music marketing, the world of social media, and the importance of self-promotion and entrepreneurship. This episode is for fans of musicians on TikTok, those ready to tackle the social media game, and all-around fans of Kirsten and her work. So let's get into it.
I know what you mean. I feel like I'm way better at doing things with people. Like, I've recorded, like, YouTube videos with other people, and it's way easier. But I, like, a month ago, recorded a YouTube video by myself, and there's so many cuts because I'll be like, yeah, I know what I'm talking about because I say stuff. If I'm making a video about a topic that I'm passionate about, I talk to myself all the time in my head when I'm like doing my makeup or something. But whenever I film the video, I'm like, oh, wait, what was I saying?
Yeah.
But it's like way easier to like kind of piggyback off of someone sometimes than doing it by yourself. I don't know what you mean.
Yeah. Literally, like it's been such a journey just, and I was talking about this with my other guest this week. It's been such a journey for myself to like be more comfortable, and then as a result that leads to like me being more confident in myself, not
Absolutely,
only like on camera but like in general.
It's so important. Yeah, that's a good thing about social media and like being a person. And yeah, what you're doing, it's like you're not only doing the back end of things, like what people don't see, which is the strategy and the production, and like that's like the whole pieces of the puzzle, but like doing the end goal of like, you know, getting up and talking, like it actually takes so much more than like I think anyone initially expects. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, I want to first and foremost thank you so much for like agreeing to meet me down here.
Oh my gosh,
and
of course, like, I freaked out.
Like, I don't know if I actually told you like how I like discovered you or whatever, but it was literally like in the process of like building out like, you know, Femme Forte and like the social media, like obviously I'm the social media manager and wear all the hats, and so I just saw that you had liked like one of my reels or a couple of my reels, and so sometimes just depending like if I actually have time, I'll actually see
like
who
see
liked
doing it.
And so that was actually how that came to be. Was I was like, oh, like okay, you know, your username came up, and I was like, oh okay, like let me see who this is.
Awesome.
And I was like, oh crap, like they have like a lot of like cool content. And so then I just started scrolling, and then basically from there, you know how phones track us all the time and all that, then you started coming up on my TikTok, and I was like, okay, I'm connecting
TikTok's
dots
crazy
now.
Like that. Yeah, I know, that's awesome. Yeah, and I mean, I saw you because of UDV, because I was already following UDV, so I was like, oh my gosh. And whenever you DM me, I was like, wait a minute, like this is like the thing. Okay, I'm connecting the dots here. Like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, and then it was so wild because as you know, in our internal team, I share everything with the UDB team of like, hey, like I'm thinking about having so and so on and whatever. And so as I had already sent you like a DM, Luke goes, "Wait, I think I know her."
Yes, I was like, Penn State alums.
I know. And I was like,
alums. Oops. But yes, I know. It was like full circle. Yeah. Cause I remember I met Luke at Penn State and we both had so much in common, like with just like our career goals and stuff. So we kind of like linked on that cause he came to talk. And then we had a couple of mutual friends from the internet actually. And then my boyfriend was like, wait, because my boyfriend plays Euphonium, because he's like, oh my gosh, like this guy is in like my favorite Euphonium group. And I was like, what? So there are all these things that just like had so many like ties in common. So it was crazy to meet him.
And I think that's so crazy. And I find myself in this position every single time, but like really in like music, band, performing arts world, it is so small.
It's so small.
Yet so big.
I'm like fully confident every time I meet. Yes. Every time I meet a new person, I kind of now assume that we know someone in common. Like I'll just say, pull up your Instagram or something and then we'll find like, and I'm like, oh, you know, blank. Oh, we went here. Oh, wait, you know who. So it's just like crazy because there's just so many. I never realized how like big but small it was until I got on the internet and then I was like, oh wow, there are all these connections. So it's like really cool how that works.
I mean, same as I'm like, you know, perusing out to see other people who are, you know, making a name for themselves and creating their own personal brand, I'll also see like, oh, you both follow Kristen, and I was like, oh cool.
Oh my gosh, I love it.
That's super awesome.
So cool.
So I know a little bit about you and I know we've talked a little bit over Zoom, but go ahead and tell our listeners, our viewers,
cool, awesome,
a little brief introduction of yourself, who you are, where you come from, as well as like how you got into music as a whole.
I know. Oh my goodness. Okay. So I'm Kirsten. I do social media, obviously, but I play the oboe and I talk about the oboe. So my content is mostly either playing, talking about it, giving a lot of career advice. I'm really into that. So I'm from Pittsburgh. I grew up in Pittsburgh. This is my first year living outside of Pennsylvania. So I lived in Pennsylvania for 22 years. And then I was like, I need to expand a little bit. So I went to Dallas. So right now I go to UNT. And I'm a I'm a music business master's student. So I'm studying an MBA degree right now. And I also work full time as a content strategist manager for another company. And my side job is social media. So I pretty much make like separate sources of income from everything. And yeah, I'm working towards like a long-term goal of being like an exec marketing director. That's like my dream for either an orchestra or a music company or starting something of my own. So like, yeah, really excited about that.
Yeah, I think like one of the things that like drew me to you, like aside from the actual content that you're making is like, we share like a lot of similarities.
We do, I know. I like instantly, we have so much in common. Yeah. I know, yeah.
Yeah, so even from like the introductory Zoom call, like we instantly clicked. I was like, this is gonna be a super awesome guest. Like I already know we're gonna get along so well.
Oh my gosh, I know. Yeah, because we just have the same, like, I understand a lot of aspects to like what you do as well, because I do it like in my 9 to 5 because social media is just my 5 to 9. So yeah, it's crazy. Just like balancing out life. But yeah, we have that in common, which is so cool.
How did you know that you wanted to pursue more of the marketing side of music versus the performance? Because again, I relate to that so wholeheartedly as well. Like I originally started as a music performance major at Jazz Studies, music performance major to be exact.
Uh-huh.
And then kind of after my first year into being a music major, for me, it was more of from a mental health standpoint, the fact that I was just like working my butt off into performance that I kind of lost the fun of playing.
Yes.
And then
right with you.
Yeah. And then I always recorded myself, though, like through GoPros and video editing, and wanted to put all my performances on YouTube. And that's how I picked up the media thing.
That's so cool.
And so from there, in terms of finding what is a major for me that kind of fit with that.
Yeah.
It was more communications.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's so smart.
So for you, like, what was your inspirational moment of knowing to go down the music marketing path?
Yeah. So I'm the only musician in my family. My family mostly is made up of business and marketing people. My aunt, I always like will give her my full source of, not my full, but a lot of my inspiration. She owns a marketing agency based in Pittsburgh. And I interned for her, but I just grew up with like a lot of her influence because she would take me out to the symphony or she'd take me to the art museum. And she'd be like, you should appreciate and understand art. And I just grew up and fell in love with theater. I was actually into theater. I did theater for like 12 to 13 years, I would say. So I got into that first and I was actually really into acting. And then I just started singing lessons and I got into musical theater. And I did that. And then once time came around, I really wanted to play a string instrument, actually, because whenever I went to the PSO with my aunt, when I was like a little kid, there were a group of like harp players in the middle of the entry area just playing before the symphony. And I looked at her, I was like, I really want to do that. And she goes, okay, then do it. And I was like, I love that energy as a kid. So I always knew she got me this flute and harp CD. I fell asleep to it every night. So I'm like, I really want to play a string instrument. And I really wanted to play the harp, like so bad. And the oboe, like I saw it. I was like, I saw it. I knew of it and I appreciated it, but I really want to play the harp. And so whenever like fourth grade came around, that was when we chose our instruments. And I showed up and I was like, okay, want to play the harp? And they're like, we don't have a harp. So I was like, all right. So can I play the violin? They were like, we don't have string instruments, because I went to a private school. So they only had wind. And I was like, okay. So I was like, I'm going to play the flute. And then they were like, you can't hold it. You're so small. Like I couldn't hold it. So I couldn't reach all the keys. So I said, okay, well, my grandma played clarinet in high school. So like, I should play the clarinet. I couldn't hold it. And then I didn't even try the oboe. I went straight to trumpet. I picked up the trumpet and they're like, you can't do that. I picked up the horn. You can't do that. I picked up everything. And then finally my teacher goes, how about the oboe? And I go, what? And she gives it to me and I played it and a note came out. And as soon as that happened, my teacher goes, oh my gosh, no one ever does that on the first try. This is yours now. Like you need to play. And it was like, I know a lot of oboe players like actually do start that way. And I was like, oh my gosh. So a lot of people ask me like, oh, well, you chose this. And I'm like, I technically didn't choose the oboe, but I'm really like, I would not trade it for the world. Like, I'm so glad. I know that like, I feel like every instrumentalist has like their own personality with their instrument. I know I'm an oboe player and I'm like proud to be one. And I just fell in love with like, my favorite part about playing oboe is like the vocalistic tone that it has. And every oboe player has like their own unique sound, and that's why I love it. And you can just like customize it, obviously, as you get into like reed making and all that. So I loved it. It's so hard. It's such a hard instrument to learn, and like so much respect to kids that start out on oboe and then stay with it, because it's hard. But I pushed through it, and then I got to high school and got into youth orchestra, and then that's when I was like, okay, like I kind of want to be serious. So yeah, marketing basically. So I was in a marketing club in high school, and I did like competitive marketing stuff, and I was like, I really want to do this, but I also really like oboe. And I didn't know like where I was gonna end up. So I auditioned for a ton of schools and like kind of expressed that I was like, sorry, a ton, three. But I expressed that I was like really into business. So whenever I went to Penn State, they were like, oh, well, that's perfect because we have an integrated degree. So I could study a BMA on a scholarship. So like pursuing the BM oboe performance degree while studying music business. So I think it was specifically like the word was arts entrepreneurship. So I got a minor in that and then just, you know, worked towards a performance major. And as I did it, I took over the Penn State School of Music's social media. So I basically did everything from like monitoring it. I kind of led a team, which was pretty cool to be a freshman, like just in charge of that. And I got super into graphic design. I just fell in love with it. I would like sit at the library every day after orchestra and just like design and then think of different campaigns and strategies. And I did that for 4 years and I was like, I want to do this like the rest of my life. Like, it's so cool. So I love marketing. I love campaigns and like designing especially, but music, obviously, like I have that extra touch of passion for it. So yeah, combined. Yeah,
literally speaking my language, like about yes, everything, because like everything you just mentioned, I was like, yep, that's me. Yep, that's me. Gosh. Because I was saying yeah, this earlier this week, I it's the new joke is if it wasn't for band, I would 100% be a theater kid.
Mm-hmm.
I love musical theater.
It's awesome.
Like
yeah.
if you, I don't know if I've shown any of it on my TikTok or Instagram yet, but
okay.
In my office are like three posters that I got from my time in New York recently.
Oh, I love it.
And so it's the new Broadway cast of Sweeney Todd,
yes.
Parade, and then Lea Michele for Funny Girl.
Mm, okay, that's awesome. And when were you in New York?
I was in New York for June, and so that was like literally...
When? I was in New York in June.
I think it was the 20th to like the 24th.
Okay, that's like right when I left. But I was there like the week before.
Okay, yeah. So I had never been to like New York before, and
that's awesome.
I literally for my birthday gifted myself, like I paid for
As
myself.
You should.
For a solo trip to New York. And so I was so scared.
Exciting. Oh, it is. I mean, it's so different than Texas. Like just, anywhere, honestly. So like just the culture shock of like, oh, there's so many people. And also just like navigating the subway. I did that by myself the first time.
Me too. Summer. And then I got so proud. I only got lost like twice, but it's okay.
As long as you're back here safe, that's all that matters.
Yeah, like no one needs to know that I like hopped on the like wrong train twice, but like, you know, it's fine.
We don't need to worry about that. I'm like, just like mind your business. The thing about New York I do like is that everyone minds their business. Like they're not going to like judge you.
I was so genuinely scared, you know, as a relatively short woman.
Yes, like, I understand.
Navigating like safety and like really for the most part I did feel safe and
good.
I would be that person. Like so I booked like an Airbnb kind of near like the upper Manhattan Harlem area.
Ooh,
and so
okay.
In order to like save on money and stuff like that, I would literally take the subway like down to like Times Square and like the theater district like in the morning, like probably like 9 a.m. ish, and then wouldn't go back to my Airbnb until like
later,
like midnight, 1 a.m.
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah. I mean, if you're like, honestly, I haven't had any like truly intense scares from doing it because my best friend from college, she lives in the Bronx, and then my boyfriend, he grew up and lives in Brooklyn. So it was like Bronx to Brooklyn, Brooklyn to Brooklyn. Like, it was like a whole thing. And then like we'd stop in Manhattan, but like, yeah, I mean, it's a long subway because you just say, oh, New York. OK, but then like getting everywhere, it's like, oh, all right.
Yeah, but it was such a wild experience. And I think honestly, like for me, I mean, my dad was a fan and still is a fan of musical theater. And then I just kind of got indoctrinated into that. But
love
I think
it.
Still loving music. Mm-hmm. I mean, my dream before this was to be on Broadway in like the orchestral pits and like play
in
drum set.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so like I think I think that's why I love musical theater, to be more specific. I mean, I do go to plays and go see them and they're great, but I do love the music aspect.
The extra element of it. Yeah, just cuz we're like we have that in our blood, but yeah, there's just so many good written musicals out there and like especially cuz like I think because we grew up with some of that, it's like super nostalgic to like go see it on Broadway, obviously. Like for me as a kid, Les Mis was like my favorite. So anytime it like was around in town, I was like, I'm going to see it, obviously. But yeah, I feel like there's just like extra connection, which is awesome. But yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you mentioned too about like running like the Penn State like, you know, music social media account. So I didn't do that exactly, but I did, I think my sophomore year.
Okay.
Into college, I essentially ran its media team. And so, I don't believe necessarily the marching band at my university had like a strong media presence or their Facebook page or whatever was like super old or something like
that. Yeah, there's always that going on.
Yeah, but because like I had cameras and I loved taking, you know, pictures of the marching band and then loved creating like these like awesome hype videos, like kind of making them look like rock stars.
Oh,
that's kind of what helped incorporate and help build the social media presence that
it has
now.
Oh, and so, my goodness. I love that. Yeah.
And so that later translated into me working for the university as a whole in their development office. And then I helped created like marketing campaigns for like what we called Day of Giving, which was essentially like a day of the university where like a bunch of donors donate money to like the different departments, even outside just music. It was like the university
as
a whole.
Yeah. Okay. So. That's great. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I the high of shooting a marching band is so fun. Like, I shot Blue Van one time.
Oh, okay.
And I got to stand on the top of the stadium, like the very, it was so scary actually.
Yeah.
But just like doing that, oh my gosh, it's just so fun. And then like the marching band members are always like super hype about like you like taking, they're like, Kirsten, because a lot of my friends in the music school were in the marching band. So like, Kirsten, you should come over here to the clarinet section. And I'm like, all right. But yeah, it's just so fun. Oh my gosh.
And now, a word from our sponsors.
Femme Forte is sponsored by Ultimate Drill Book. UDB app modernizes marching band. Spend less time, have more fun, and achieve at a higher level. Just upload your drill from Pyware into the UDB app, and everyone in your band gets animations with your show music, precise pathways, synced music, notes, props, and so much more. It's just easier. Head to ultimatedrillbook.com and use code FEMFORTE when you order to get 20% off UDB app Pro.
Stry TV is now available to download on the App Store. Watch exclusive videos like Femme Forte, Inside Drum Corps, Charity Chase, and so much more. Go to strydtv.com and use code FEMFORTE to get 50% off premium features like community chat, live Q&A with me, and behind-the-scenes content. Stry TV is home of the arts, a dedicated media platform for the arts community. Femme Forte is sponsored by Beam Music. Are you tired of making copies and printing your music? Beam is the app that will make you actually like distributing music. Organize with collections, create set lists, keep track of time, and share powerful annotations on your sheet music. You know that feeling when you call up a stand tune and everyone frantically looks for the music? Those days are over. Activate Live Mode to automatically connect everyone in the ensemble to your device. When you select a piece of music, everyone's individual parts for that song are instantly displayed on their personal device, all without the need for internet. Head to udb.live/beam to have your entire music library everywhere. Beam. It's the sheet. Yeah, yeah. So do you think that like your experience into like, you know, theater has helped you create your own personal brand and be more comfortable in front of the camera when creating content?
Definitely. I kind of forgot about, I don't want to say I forgot about my theater experience, but I mean, I went to acting school and I did all this stuff for years, and I was actually like part of a pretty good group like in right before high school. And I think once I got in my youth orchestra in high school, I was like, okay, I think I just vibed with orchestra players just a little bit more. And I just liked oboe a little bit more, but I love musical theater too. So I just decided to like fully focus on oboe. But I think that that acting experience and just having like good, you know, like front, you know, being able to talk to an audience. I also was just super into like giving presentations and business related things in class. So I just really, yeah, I think I had that ability to like really hone in on my acting. And a lot of my TikToks kind of do have acting going on in it. Like I've done a couple of POVs, or I've, you know, obviously just giving good camera connection and knowing how to give like a good screen presentation. It's a huge part of it. Even if I'm actually, even if I'm playing the oboe and the video is just me playing the oboe, I mean, dare I even say sometimes the video element is more important sometimes, because you got to catch the audience with the first second, yeah, 2 seconds of the video. So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So I know when I had actually talked to Luke that y'all had met, I think he was doing maybe a talk or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think that's how awesome. He connected the dots of like knowing who you are. So
yeah.
Where he had told me that you already had this idea of like developing like this brand on TikTok, centering mm-hmm. yourself around like you playing oboe. So where
yes.
did the inspiration and the idea generate from?
Oh man, it just kind of came from, you know, obviously posting. So I actually was a music Instagrammer first. And if anyone was on like music Instagram back in before the pandemic, it was always 100 days of practice. That was like the whole thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've seen that hashtag,
yeah.
but everyone would post practice videos. I did too. And it was, I don't want to say toxic, but it was not a genuine thing that we were all doing. Cause it was like, yeah, we're still going to post our best stuff. Like I was doing 13 takes of what I was practicing and just putting it on the internet. And yeah, it was interesting. And then TikTok was a whole other thing. So over the pandemic, I just started making fun posts for literally my friends. I only had what, 20 followers or something between all my friends from college. And, you know, we were doing online classes. So I remember I posted a video about class piano on Zoom, and I was just kind of making something. I tagged my friend and I was like, look at this, you know, like, look at this, haha. Like, oh my gosh, I kind of made something funny, but I didn't think it was going to do anything. And then one day I made a post that was like, this is so, it was, I kind of like hooked it with, oh, this is so controversial. Only music majors can read this. And I wrote, I think, cabbage on sheet music with the letters.
Yeah.
And I put it up. And that was the first video to like do something, like I think got like 10K or something. And I was like, oh my God, that's cool. And then I think I just made a couple of other, there was, I don't know if you remember if you were on TikTok in like 2020, but there was a bra girl trend versus like a, you know, that emoji with like the like puppy dog
yeah,
eyes.
Yeah.
So I did like bra girl musicians versus like puppy dog eye musicians. And that was like the first like really big. And I was like, okay, cool. And then that's whenever I started to meet my friends that I currently have. Like I met so many people from TikTok that are just huge parts of my life now. So that was incredible. And then from there, I have collabed with, I've talked with, I've connected with so many amazing people. And then I had my first company reach out to me for a brand deal, and I kind of freaked out and was just so excited. And because it was a company that I look up to and use, so I was like, oh my gosh, this is perfect. And that was my first time. I was like, oh wait, I can kind of like monetize myself, which is really awesome. And then that stemmed into actually in about February of this year, I started to offer online music lessons. And that was another great way just to like connect with my, you know, followers that I've met through the years, and also just receiving messages from people that, you know, say, oh, you know, like you made me fall back in love with music, because there is that, like we talked about, like that mental health stress. And I think I've made some videos just like bringing awareness to a lot of things that aren't right now in the community. Like a lot of toxic, you know, we talked about that, but, I think a lot of people like have reached out to me and said that, you know, oh wow, I feel a lot more comfortable like picking up my instrument again, or you made me like fall in love with the oboe or pick it up again, or, you know, stuff. And that is not even worth any, you know, that's just priceless to see. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm so glad I can like just do that for people and like inspire people in any way possible. But yeah. And then as I go on, like I'm excited that I can use my platform for that and also, you know, expand to other things. Hopefully I have a few projects that I'm working on right now too that I'm really excited to do. But yeah, I've made like a brand. It's a great source of income for me as well. So, and I'm just thankful that I can do that. So yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah. It's, yeah. And that's like the crazy thing about, you know, like TikTok and like more other social media platforms. Like it's the barrier to entry is become so low.
Yes.
Which is great because it's really inclusive of everybody.
It is.
And yeah. And the algorithm, even like, you know, me being, you know, in media and in marketing, like trying to figure out the algorithm, like it always changes. But it's so cool that like from something that you're like, ah, this is not gonna perform that great.
Oh, no.
Like
absolutely. It
yeah.
It's always the ones that you spend, I think I just spent like actually like 6 hours on a video and it got like 20K. And then I filmed another video that was 15 seconds and it's about to hit like a million views. And I'm like, all right.
Yeah. You know, that's like just so unpredictable. And yeah. I even learned, so I went to this podcast conference recently and I went to like a TikTok like education session.
Yeah.
And they always say like, don't try so hard, like,
no,
because
never.
People will know when you try hard. Mm-hmm. And it's, yes, meant for you to be a little unhinged, a,
yes,
little chaotic. So I've been trying to
absolutely
incorporate that.
Yeah.
You know, when building out and like trying to grow Femme Forte, I myself am trying to learn the chaotic unhinged version of what that
I
looks
love
like
that. Yeah, that's so awesome. I think, yeah, once you find like that niche audience that wants to connect with you. I'm big on like community too. So I always try to take time to respond to people that DM me. Obviously it's so hard to get to everyone, but I try to just like, you know, if someone needs advice, I will answer and help them and give them, you know, anything if they need direction. I do get a lot of people too, as of recently actually, that are into what we want to do and what we're, you know, working towards, music business. And it's not something, because a lot of music schools push, you're going to be in an orchestra or you're going to teach in a classroom and that's it.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, in 2023, like there are so many other things. And a lot of my friends and I, we noticed, okay, we have my current job. Like I don't think I would have been as qualified if I didn't create on TikTok, you know? And I'm really thankful that I, you know, can come out of undergrad with like a stable career, not because I'm a good oboe, like I'm a good oboe player. I'm not the best in the world. I don't need to be the best in the world because I have the privilege of like, you know, being able to connect with people on the internet. And it's a whole new career out there for people. So it's just really awesome that that's a thing. And social media isn't the only music career out there. That's like a third thing that you can do. It's everything. I think that every musician needs to be on social media promoting themselves. I don't think that you need XX views, XX followers to be selling something or like making an income or supporting yourself. But I think that it does bring in a lot of clients, whether it's like just like sharing, oh, I'm making reads on a Facebook group or something, or just, you know, social media is just like so powerful. So I wish that like more programs would focus on that a bit more. Yeah. And like just show different like, oh, you can be in tech. Oh, you can do like a really good, strong freelance gigging schedule. Like you can do a lot of different things. You don't have to just work and work and work for years, to, like get an orchestra job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean, that's exactly what this podcast is about, is like,
awesome. Yeah.
Is, you know, the first season I really did focus on like band directors and like, and that's what originally I thought this podcast was going to be, was like talking to these awesome, you know, band directors about their experience.
And women band directors.
Yeah. And women,
my favorite.
Yeah. And like their experience, like in the band world, and like highlight their accomplishments. But really like, and you are a part of this new era where I'm really starting to target people of how they have made their mark in like this industry in really non-traditional ways.
Absolutely.
And so that's really the whole thing about this, is like I noticed like there's a huge gap in resources. I mean, this doesn't have to even just fall specifically on like women in our industry. This can go for everybody, but like obviously I want to like highlight awesome amazing women that are doing great things.
I love women.
And so yeah, like that's kind of what this is all about, is like really being able to like show and enter the market and and provide those resources of, hey, you can be involved in the arts, you can be involved in, you know, music, play an instrument, do, you know, do something, but it doesn't have to be
do everything.
Exactly. It doesn't have to be like this, the traditional path of, okay, you have to work really, really hard to be super famous, or you have to work, you know, hard to be this awesome like educator.
I completely agree. And I think that, you know, the stigma of perfection in the classical, first of all, there's no such thing. There's a lot of judgment in the community just with, you know, how good you are, whatever. And I mean, I went through it. I went through college, and like the amount of people that just judge people on, you know, if someone has a bad day, messes up a solo, and like people are gossiping about it's none of your business. Like, just focus on yourself. You know what I mean? And I mean, that's just like the energy that I think actually just scares a lot of people from the classical community from getting on the internet and talking. And trust me, like there's some days I get very self-conscious. Sometimes I'm like, oh, I hope no one like, you know, just looks at me on the internet and doesn't like me. But at the same time, like, I'm so glad I kept going. And like, it's given me so much opportunities and like so much loving people that like do appreciate my content. So that's so, it's been great. But actually I don't experience this anymore because I've set so many boundaries. But when I started on TikTok, a lot of people were giving me a hard time about it. I even had like a few past teachers that were like, oh, I would never post my playing on the internet. And I said, why? And they said, well, you're going to look back at it when you're better in a couple years and be like, you're going to be like embarrassed, or people are going to look at it if you're applying to a job. And I remember thinking like, but I'm a performance major, you know, of course I'm going to look back. I mean, I look at TikToks from, you know, even a year ago, and I'm like, oh, why did I do that or something? But actually people liked it, and it's there, and like it's content, and it's my job. It's what I majored in. So like, I'm always going to get better. But like, it just sucks that some people like don't. Yeah. I think that just the same type of like stigma with, you have to be this certain like orchestral player and follow this like very traditional, sometimes elitist, you know, pathway. Yeah. Social media is not looked at in high regard. And I've even talked to some people that work specifically with orchestras, and some people think that they're over being on social media. And it sucks because, I mean, it's just crazy. I think that like, as time changes, this will hopefully change. But yeah, I think that it's the best tool for marketing right now, and that orchestras should be on the internet. I think that it would save a lot of orchestras from shutting down, which is a huge issue right now, and giving people more jobs, like straight up. I think that so many people, like, I mean, we can see with like I know Leve, like she's a great artist and she's blown up and she's like talked about the jazz community and like has brought in so much light to that. And who knew jazz would be like such a big, you know, out of nowhere, because 10 years ago you wouldn't have even guessed that.
Yeah.
And a lot of singers now are in voice artists, like they're incorporating live music, and so many other musicians are just monetizing themselves with the power of the internet, and it's given so much abundance. So yeah, hopefully one day we get like past that stigma, but yeah, it's hard sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. I absolutely agree. I mean, it reminds me like when I, you know, my ultimate dream goal in life was like to do be a touring musician and, yes. and get to drum anywhere and everywhere that I
yeah.
that I could. Like, I actually originally started with, oh, okay, I need to create a press kit for myself, which is the whole reason actually why I started recording my performances. Oh,
so cool.
like on co-pros.
Yeah.
Would I mess up like during like a high school jazz band performance? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But it's still there.
It's there.
The mistake is on YouTube for everybody to see.
And that's okay, because we're human.
Exactly. Like, and I think it's really about like being able to see that growth, because I can, there are times, and I will admit this, I promise you I'm not self-centered, but
no,
like there
not.
Are times where on my TV, I'll go to YouTube, because I hardly ever watch like Netflix and Hulu anymore or anything like that, but I'll go to YouTube and sometimes like I'll go back to my channel when I'm feeling nostalgic and
yeah.
watch like 2016 performance that
yeah.
you know, really grainy, like before,
oh,
like before, like before, you know, iPhones really like yes. had better cameras. And so I'll watch that performance and then I'll see like the most recent like college performance that I did, and like just the growth as a
yes.
musician and the you know, the progressions
yes.
that I was able to make and
yeah.
and all that, like it's just so cool to see. And so that's like when I'm feeling nostalgic
yes.
or I'm like, darn, I miss playing.
I need to but, go look, yeah.
But like, it's really that, like, you know, being able to record my performances, that was all meant so when anybody asked me for a demo reel, that would be my portfolio.
Oh, I love and that.
And so,
yeah.
and I created like, and like, I also offered, like lessons like at my school and
oh,
stuff like that,
so
like
nice.
Drumming lessons for incoming freshmen
yes.
that would come in and stuff like that. So very, very similar paths.
Oh,
and so
that.
That's kind of what helped me. Like I created my own like Facebook page of I think I could call it oh my gosh, this is gonna be so cringy, but
no,
I think I called it like DeFreeze Drums, which is like my last name Drums.
Funny.
And so like I created like that was like my Instagram username
yeah.
at the time. And
honestly,
then
I like it.
Thank you.
But,
and then
yeah,
that was like a
the
whole
play
face
on letters.
And then a whole Facebook page was related to that.
Oh, I love
and,
that.
And I was making this joke the other day, but all of my company names have what's the term? Like I've unintentionally used alliteration.
Oh, I
so,
love
like,
it.
So like DeFreeze Drums. Now that I'm like thinking about it, it was DeFreeze Drums. It's Femme Forte. And it was Purple Panda Productions.
I love that. I love all three. Like it's such a nice play on words. I know. For me, I just deleted my last name.
Hey, it works though.
It works. I know. I feel like it's just like it has a nice like ring to it.
No, absolutely.
But most people think my last name is Opa. Like it's just funny. I've talked to a couple of my other friends about it, because some of my other content creator friends, we will just like our usernames are our name and then our instrument. And a lot of people, like no one knows their last name because
yeah.
of it. But yeah.
But yeah, like that's something that I don't think people are just now starting to understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
is
I completely
like
agree.
Really like the more that you put yourself out there and like leverage some of these social media platforms, and even what I'm seeing, like what I've been able to see on Instagram and TikTok now, of really being able to create that sense of community. Like I don't remember even that being created 5, 7, 10 years ago.
It's crazy how like so much of that has taken off, and I think it's really connected high school and college students from around the country, and definitely some millennials too have gotten into it. So it's this generation that's just connected, which is so incredible. And I mean, I was so, you know, I was on the, you know, the board of how are people going to think about this, right? And then whenever I was applying to graduate school, the reason why I connected with my current professor, she was all about it and she was so into it. And I just felt so loved and accepted by her. And then my oboe studio is so incredible. I met so many people, like amazing people from there. And they're just so like accepting of what I do too. So it's just so awesome to have that. And just my school in general is very like, we just want you to be successful. Do what is making you happy. And as long as you have like a sustainable career, like we are happy, like do it, you know, go pursue that. And yeah, it's really nice to see a school that's promoting a lot of different career paths in music.
Yeah. And I think it's really cool, like, especially now that you're you know, taking or had taken like some business classes as a part of your career. Yeah. Like you know, you even mentioned earlier about getting brand deals and like really like having to think of you and your brand as a business. I think step one is getting yourself out there on social media. But then once you reach that next level, we're not really taught as musicians like entrepreneurship. And I think that's like really helped me and like create, you know, this brand, this podcast, is because now I have some of that knowledge of how to promote the podcast from a business standpoint.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I think a lot of creators, even just outside of music, like we aren't taught like how to be our own entrepreneurs. And so what is something, do you think those classes or other experiences had influence to now knowing some of this information and how to like, you know, successfully promote yourself and work with other people?
Yes, I think that every music program should require every student to be in entrepreneurship or a business, like a music marketing class, not if you want to go like be a director of a music company, not that reason, so that you can promote yourself. Even if you want to go perform in an orchestra, if that is your end goal, you need to know basic networking skills. And you know, a lot of orchestras now ask around and they just want to see how you are as a person, how you work with people. And a lot of that is so important. And I think that they should be teaching that in every single school system. And I think that that's great. And I think that a lot of classes do that. But I think also a lot of the stuff that I've learned was just being out in the workforce. And I wanted to make sure I did that as soon as possible. Even I'm still in school, but I'm like, I want to be working full time right now. You know, I graduated from undergrad. I want to be working full time while I'm pursuing my MBA and have that experience coming out of it. But even when I was in undergrad, I was crazy. I was working like four jobs at the same time, all part time, but getting that real work experience, like anything I could get, because I was not studying, you know, a marketing degree fully, but I was racking up all this experience and certifications and everything. Every time I saw something like NASA, I went to go shoot for NASA because I just like applied on a whim. I just took those opportunities and got that experience. So I think it's a mixture. I think that schools do need to, I really think that everyone should take a music entrepreneurship class. I really do. But on top of that, I think like getting out there, if you want to, you know, I think musicians should think of, okay, this is my end dream job. And then here are like three jobs that I also like that I can work up leading, like work while leading up to that job. Yeah. And I think that having that stability is so important. And then building up to that, I think is also very important. So even, you know, not obviously not everyone can do full time or honestly shouldn't for their mental health while they're in school. Especially performance majors, because that's like, it's very heavy while you're in master's school. Mine's a little bit different because I'm online. But I think, you know, okay, if you want to have like a really strong gigging career, you know, get those networking connections while you're at master's school. So I think that teaching that in a classroom is really good.
Yeah, no, I agree wholeheartedly, because some of the skill sets that you mentioned, like if you're not taking a class or even know that you need these skill sets to reach your end goal, like, you know, a lot of people think of, oh, I'm here, and only think of the destination instead of the journey to get there. And so I definitely agree, even, you know, speaking from personal experience, like having those stepping stones so you can reach your end goal. I think there's a, I might butcher the quote, but the quote talks about like a goal without action or a goal without a plan is just a wish.
Yes, absolutely. I've had some people even say stuff like, oh, that like hit hard, because I've had people say stuff to me like, oh, I would have opportunities like you if I posted as much. I had someone say that to me before, like, oh, I'd have your opportunity if I posted as much as you. And I said, okay. Like, well, I just said, oh, all right. But in my head, I'm like, but you're not doing it. Like, you got to actually take, a lot of people want the end goal without working for it. And, you know, you can look online for advice, or you can ask people that you look up to for advice. But if you're not actually taking those steps to do it yourself, you're not going to get there. So yeah. It's like the hustle, like, you got to actually do it yourself. But you're so right. Like, 100%. Like, that just hit so hard. But yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, like, kind of like, changing gears a little bit, just because, like, even it doesn't even have to do with this podcast, just me personally, I have so many questions. But yeah, one of the questions I really want to ask you is, I saw one of your, like, you know, reels or TikToks about, like, your like, a day in the life with you, and, like,
oh yeah,
and like and like, I know, and then even as you mentioned before, like, having internships and having different, you know, side hustles here and there, like, yeah, while all in school, yeah, like, my question overall is just, like, how do you balance all the time and, like, still kick ass at what you do?
Thank you. I don't want to say I'm a Capricorn as the reason, but I love to work. But I always make sure I have a very strong support base of friends that I can trust. Like, I have so many amazing friends that I've had. I have, like, a group from high school, a group from undergrad, a group right now at UNT, like, so many good friends, some from TikTok too. Like, I just have so many people that I can rely on, and I always make time to see them. Like, that video did not show that I take time. Like, I think I put somewhere in the caption, like, I do take 2 to 3 times a week. Like, last night I was out, like, with my friends. Like, I was like, I need to take time off of work and do things that, you know, make me happy, because getting out, sometimes just me driving to a new shop in Dallas, right? If I see something on, you know, I'll get an ad that's like, oh, there's this cute new coffee shop in Dallas. I'll Google it and I'll just go and then go shopping for 2 hours, because taking those breaks, I just burn out if I don't. And it's hard because, you know, getting up, and I get up at 7-ish every day and I drive 40 minutes to work. I work 9 to 5 and then I drive home and then I do social media and my classes, and it can really be a lot. But I know right now I'm not going to do that after I graduate. I'm going to just, like, have my job in social media. But I know right now it's going to lead to, like, a rewarding path and, like, a life that I really want to work for. And I know that it's going to be worth it in the end. But yeah, if I didn't take my breaks, I would be, and sometimes my friends too are like, Kirsten, you need to chill, like, you need to, like, literally just stop. And I'm working on that a lot more. But yes, it's a lot, but just reminding myself, like, you know, I need to be doing this because it's leading to something that I want. And, you know, it's been so rewarding. So I don't have 5 hours in my day to sit down and play Animal Crossing anymore, but one day I will, hopefully. But I, you know, taking that time, I mostly socialize in my free time. I don't, you know, okay, I'm gonna sit and watch a show. If I do watch, I do watch Hulu. I take my time, but I'm usually doing, like, reads. Like, every time I'm doing reads, I'm like, okay, now I'll watch Love Island, yeah, or something. But yeah, just having that is really good. But it's a lot. It's a lot.
I know from experience. So last night, uh-huh, I was literally, like, dumping footage and trying to, yeah, put, like, a rough cut together of, you know, someone else's episode. Okay. So I definitely understand. Like, I also try to, like, socialize in my free time. I have my phone, like, Apple Calendar is, like, my best friend right now, because, like, I have to, like, schedule, like, I literally allot time of, hey, you know, this is the time I'm gonna, yeah, be at home to, like, decompress. And then sometimes, like, when I'm home, yeah, you know, decompressing, I allot, like, 1 hour of, like, yes, doing femme forte stuff, or, you know, this, you know, on a Thursday night, you know, I'm spending time with my friends, or,
yes, or absolutely,
yeah. So I totally, that's, understand, so of, like, definitely finding the balance of, like, being in hustle mode, then, mm-hmm, decompressing, and then also socializing.
It's, you're so, yeah, you're right. I think whenever in my brain, whenever work becomes work, then I stop. sometimes you have to work.
Yeah.
Sometimes when I'm doing accounting class, I'm like, okay, well, I do have to force myself to get this assignment done. But when, you know, my work, especially when I'm doing social media, I'm like, oh, I really just need to stop.
Yeah.
That's when I know I'm like, okay, I need to like lay down or ask my friends, like go somewhere. Or last weekend I took a trip to see my friends. So just doing that type of thing kind of just makes me, you know, happy. But yeah, I will say at the end of the day, I'm never bored, but it is a very busy life. Yeah.
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 No, I totally get it.
Yes, I know. It's just doing everything, especially like props to anyone that is studying performance and then also doing a second major or like just a BMA integrated degree. It's a lot. And I know a lot of my friends, like I know some people that are like software engineers and like still getting their like performance masters. It's just yeah.
Mm-hmm. My follow-up to that question is, because I see you post like pretty much every day and like always like generate new content, like mm-hmm. where do you have like a planning period and or like an inspiration period, like where do you get yes. your inspiration from? And then like do you just like bank kind of episodes like on a day-by-day basis, or yeah. do you record an episode or not episode of you know content every day?
Yeah, I kind of like base it around what I'm doing. So for example, I knew I had this, so I'm like, okay, I want to finish these two videos before I come here. And if I know I'm going on a trip, I kind of just plan out like my content for the week. I always write down what I want to do. So for example, when I filmed my YouTube video, I was like, okay, I want this done by Tuesday, and then I'm going to do all this other stuff. Whenever it comes to comedy videos, it's more, I do want to get like at least one out a week, usually two, but it's usually whenever I see a trend and I'm like, all right, I'm going to do this tomorrow because this is a new trend and it's coming up right now. But with the longer term video, especially whenever it comes to recording oboe, I have like a goal. So usually like right now I'm trying to actually post a lot more oboe videos because I'm really liking it. I'm getting into this thing where I like dressing up as like the theme and then
yes.
doing it, so I'm having fun with that. But yeah, like whenever I get back next week, I'll probably do like my next one. So I'm trying to do like one every like week or two there. So I kind of just have like a content goal where like I'm giving, I mean, my content in particular surrounds advice, comedy, and playing videos for the most part. And I just like to, you know, do that. I'm loving Instagram right now too. So like, I'm trying to like also share and like do cross posting as well, but it can be a lot. but yeah, my deadlines though that I'm like, this has to be done on this day is either whenever I'm releasing something to be monetized, like a Spotify thing or something like that, or a brand contract. I like to be on time with those, and yeah. I like to be as professional as possible. So, and a lot of that stuff is sometimes not even posted on my page because they just use my videos on their stuff. So it's just like sending that stuff out to them and like knowing like, okay, on this day I'm going to write, on this day I'm going to conceptualize, on this day I'm going to shoot, on this day I'm going to edit. It's just a whole thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, just being on top of it and also not taking on too much, because I used to do that so much. So it's like sometimes okay to say no to people and like, or actually, you know, I'm booked. Like right now I'm kind of booked. So now I need to be like, oh, I'm not actually available to do work until like late September. So just like giving yourself that boundary too is really important.
Yeah. And that's so awesome. Like that's a great problem to have.
It's nice. I'm like, I actually, this problem just happened this week. I signed a new thing and I was like, oh, I can't actually take anything else. Like I'm good. I'm like, I'm too busy. Like, oh, I was too busy already, but I'm like, wow, I'm actually like pretty booked. Yeah, it's crazy.
No,
but,
that's again, yeah. I like if I can just speak wholeheartedly, like just again, this is like,
yeah,
the reason like why I wanted you on the show is because I see the work that you're doing. Obviously, like understanding so much more, not only from like professionally but also like from a personal standpoint of like how much hard work goes into all of it. Like it's so cool that one, that you're doing the work, two, it's you actually have found your purpose to like not just do it for yourself, but like also you're helping other people in the process,
thank you.
As well as just like being super like badass like rock star at all.
Thank you. That makes me so happy.
Yeah, like I had so much.
That makes me so happy. Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah, I have so much admiration for you, and
oh
it's
my
like
gosh, thank
that's
you.
The whole thing. It's like I can't wait for this episode to come out because
oh my
it's
gosh,
like,
I'm so excited. Like, my followers will freak out too.
Like,
oh
like literally, like these conversations are not only important to have, but it's also really important to highlight like awesome people and their journey
absolutely.
To success.
Oh my gosh, it's so important. Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, like if I can make some form of change in the community to highlight like you can pursue music and be really freaking successful, whatever that means for you. And I think that like destigmatizing everything that's been going on the past however many years and like highlighting, you know, there's just so much more than like being good at your instrument. That's like one step, right? And then just figuring out like what is going to make you the happiest and what's going to make you like the most, you know, feeling the most fulfilled coming out of it. I just want to like be able to like show people that they can do that. So
absolutely.
Yeah. And also some comedy. Like it's nice. Yeah. It's nice to just like break the ice with music problems.
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, like it's so cool how like the comedic part of it like is really relates to like everybody.
It's so niche too. Like sometimes I post like even oboe videos and I'm like, I don't even know if anyone's gonna know what this is. But like the concert black thing right now. I'm just like, what? Like I wasn't expecting it to be that crazy, but people go crazy over it. And I'm like, okay, I'm glad it wasn't just me because I would be embarrassed.
No, I think that's what we're starting to see too, is like it's not only like cool to see that other people have had that same experience.
<They're not.
laughs> but it's like creating a community and really like again putting, you know, certain issues or certain similar experience to the forefront.
Oh my gosh, it's so fun. Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's so, I love doing it. Like, it's just like, I get excited every day when I know I have like something fun to post. I'm like, okay. I can't wait for 3 p.m. when I post.
Yes, absolutely. Well, we're just about to wrap up here and I have my last two questions for you.
Okay, so perfect.
Well, these are kind of both a two-parter question.
Yeah, two-parter,
but,
okay.
The first one is, who do you want to be and what experiences do you want to create?
Oh, okay, perfect. So I, like career-wise or just
overall,
anything? Okay.
Yeah.
I just want to be someone that actually does at least put a dent in changing the community a little bit and just highlighting, you know, everything going on in our community and that we can change it for the better and just be more like open to just career and opportunities for others. Like, I think that, you know, if I can at least do that, right? For years, my dream has been to direct an orchestra. Like, that is, like, one of my biggest... in orchestra, ideally, but, like, I also am, like, super into record labels and, like, music companies in general. But if I could, like, change so much in, like, the orchestral system with the marketing and then make it, like, you know, the thing to go to, because we are losing that. And I think that that's not... that it shouldn't be that way. Like there's so many skilled musicians out there that play amazing music. There's so much new music coming out with, I mean, there's so many amazing composers that like don't even have a light shed on them that are alive right now and like amazing. Especially women and people of color. Like, I think we need to like just like highlight that more. And I also think that there's just so many things where we can have more audience connection to bring in more people that are like wanting to come to concerts, because once you have demand, you have people that want to come, that want to pay, and then you can pay your musicians, because musicians need to be paid more at the end of the day. We all do. So if I can at least dent that, that's my goal, whatever that means, whatever I end up doing. But yeah,
absolutely. Mm-hmm. And then my next question is, knowing the knowledge that you have now, what is some advice that you would have told yourself as maybe the person, you know, picking up a trumpet and then a flute and then finally getting the oboe, or even, you know, as a person like starting, you know, your brand for the first time, either or?
My main advice is to keep going, because there's so many times I almost stopped, to be honest. I was just like, oh, I just want to do business, or, oh, I like, this is so toxic. Like, I need to stop. Just keep going, you know, and people that treat you bad, it's usually coming from them and not you if you didn't do anything. So people that show disdain or are bitter towards like your own success, that's a them problem. So putting yourself out there, whether that's auditioning, you know, that's stressful, or getting on the internet, that's stressful. That's a huge step. And it takes a lot to do that. And, you know, that's why it's just like, don't judge people who do that. And the people that do end up doing that, you know, that it just says more about them. So that's my piece of advice. And also just like boundaries, because boundaries are so important. And I'm someone that like, I'm so overgiving, and I used to be a people pleaser. Thankfully, my therapist said I'm no longer people pleaser.
Yes, like, we love that.
She's like, you're a recovering people pleaser. And I'm like, yes.
Yes.
Finally, like after 4 years of therapy. No, I'm kidding. But yeah, just knowing like how much to give to people that want help, and how much to give to anyone, honestly. Just having those boundaries is so important, especially as you level up. People will want to take a lot. So just having those boundaries, knowing like who's going to be real with you and like all that stuff, I think it's just so important. So
awesome. Yeah. And then last but not least, where can our listeners, viewers find you? Social media, yeah. Website, plugs.
Totally. So you can find me on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube at Kirsten Oboe. And I'm also on Snapchat. I just made it, like one of those public accounts. But it's Kirsten-Oboe, because for some reason Kirsten Oboe is taken.
How dare they?
Yeah. Well, yeah, there's actually another person that's like, they have my Pinterest and it's not mine. Sorry. That sounded so entitled. They have Kirsten Oboe on Pinterest and Snapchat.
Gotcha.
So, but I'm, I think I'm just Kirsten Haddocks on Pinterest, but I do have some stuff on there. And then, yeah, I'm also working on an ebook right now. So hopefully I'll have that on Amazon, but it's about like how marketing can help orchestras and like possibly save them. So I'm working on that. It was from a study I did last year for a class, and I'm like, I found so much more information since then, so I'm spending so much time refining it because I want the product to be good. But yeah, so many people are on me. I'm sorry, guys. So many people are like, Kirsten, where is it?
No, that's so cool.
Yeah, but that's something that's coming soon on my end. So yeah.
Awesome. Well, thanks again for being on the show.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, I appreciate it. It was amazing. Like, such an honor.
Thanks for listening to Femme Forte. Femme Forte is produced and hosted by me, Amanda DeFries. Music is by Humans Win. To learn more about our guests, sponsors, and get more resources, go to FemmeFortePodcast.com and follow us on social media at FemmeFortePodcast.